Okay, we are going to get started very, very shortly, and I'm going to ask you to find a seat, and then glad that quite a number of people have already signed up and for the youth conference. Determine also what you'd like to have us to consider. Talk to us, and I'll be very happy to have you have your considerations, your opinions, suggestions considered very carefully. Right, and once again, think about who you want to have lunch with. You have your choice, and we'd be glad to have lunch with you, or not to. It's up to you, and we're not going to force you into groups. Right, I hope that you will look into this, and then let's prepare our hearts for worship today and for the youth conference coming right up. Well, let's pray together. Father, we pray that you'll help us to look forward to learning a bit more. Help us always be in the spirit of prayer, personally, and then together, collectively. Teach us how to be more and more prayerful, especially when we think of all the challenges of life in front of us. We pray, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, enjoy the prelude. Well, today we are going to begin a new chapter to read, and I'm just hoping that you will learn how to look at the scriptures and look at how they apply to life, because the scriptures are absolutely relevant. The challenge is to know how to go about it. And this is what you will be learning, hopefully, at the youth conference, to read the scriptures and ask yourself, how does that apply to me right here, now, today? And that is a valuable thing to learn to do. So plan to read 1 Samuel ahead of time, and then look at how David came to the picture, and then ask yourself, what is this story? When I began reading Bible, I couldn't make head or tail out of the story. This is nice stories. I like to read stories. So I read stories. I read every single story in the Bible, but I couldn't make sense out of it. Until, well, I kept praying, Lord, just help me to understand. And I hope that it will happen to you. And if that can happen to you, I will tell you, you will read the scriptures and enjoy it 10 times over. And that's absolutely wonderful. So again, here we try and make sense of the scriptures in our life. And, you know, the best thing to do is to have a prepared heart to be able to do this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We can pray to you at any time, all the time, again and again. And you'll be there to hear us when we pray. And we ask that we may read your word with discernment, read your word with understanding, and we pray that what we read will come alive to us. Pray for your blessings as we commence our youth worship program this afternoon. We ask you to bless in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, come on.
Hello everyone, my name is Yan Ning. Welcome back to the house of the Lord for a time of worship. Some weeks back, I read a book to a group of children, and this book is titled Thinking Thoughts and Feeling Feelings. And this book helps children, especially those who struggle socially, to understand the functions of the brain and the heart. It describes the brain as a thought maker and the heart as a feelings keeper. Our thoughts and our feelings are inseparable, and they affect our response to situations around us. As we come to the Lord's house today, what is in your mind as well as your heart? For some, you could be thinking about the exams this week or the exams that you have to study for, and this could leave you drained. For others, the unexpected could have left you feeling worried. Or you could also be delighted because the Lord has answered a long-awaited prayer this week. Regardless of how our week has been, let us turn our hearts and minds to worship the Lord this afternoon. The first song that we will be singing is titled Worthy of All Praise. You can find the lyrics of this song in pages 6 to 7 of the bulletin. The first verse of this song beautifully describes for us who the Lord is, His Creator, Savior, God of Grace, Messiah, and the one who gives us peace. If you look at the second verse of this song, it helps us appreciate salvation anew. It speaks of how the Lord seeks us as sinners, paid for our sins through His blood, and freed us from sin and darkness. Let us take this first song together meaningfully. Thank you for your fine singing. At Youth Worship, we have also been learning about the heart. Proverbs 4 verses 23 reads, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." The heart can be the root of the problems that we face in life. Therefore, there is a need to consistently guard our hearts. Many of us are in the midst of completing our exams. When we take exams, we set aside time to prepare before the day of our paper. I personally need 2 weeks of intensive study before my exams if I want to do well. Unlike exams, we are not given a date to work towards for the issues of life. Challenges can hit us anytime. As such, to prepare for the issues of life, the only way is to consistently and diligently keep our hearts. This is the lesson that I've been learning. As I look towards graduation and deciding what's next for me, keeping my heart means a few things for me. Firstly, it is to lay aside the distractions, like taking the easy way out of things or settling for something that is not God's best for me in this new season of life. And secondly, it is to renew my heart and mind to God's purposes for me. I can do my part to relate to the Lord in prayer, as well as to keep His word in my heart as I learn to keep my heart. One verse that speaks to my heart is Romans 12, verse 2. And it reads, "And do not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We can keep our hearts by being different from the world and to renew our minds. And in doing so, we can learn to be aligned and to stay on track to God's plan for us. The next song that I have chosen is What Can I Do? And this song reminds me of who God is and how He loves us, undeserving as we are. The lyrics are found on pages 8 and 9 of the bulletin. The chorus encompasses a response of thanksgiving, of giving our life to Him, and a plea to make everything that we do pleasing to Him. And as we take this song together, may we be conscious of the renewing of our hearts today. Let us take this song.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we'll be reading from Genesis 43, verses 1 to 14. In this passage, the time has now come for the brothers to go back to Egypt to buy grain again, and they had to bring Benjamin along with them. However, Jacob was unwilling to let Benjamin go to Egypt as a result of fear that he might lose him. Even as Judah assured Jacob that he would bring Benjamin back safely, Jacob's final response was one of resignation and sorrow. Genesis 43. Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, "Go back, buy us a little food." But Judah spoke to him, saying, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face, unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down.' For the man said to us, 'You shall not see my face, unless your brother is with you.'"
And Israel said, "Why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you had still another brother?"
But they said, "The man said to us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, 'Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' And we told him according to these words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, 'Bring your brother down?'"
Then Judah said to Israel his father, "Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time."
And their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand, and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also, and arise, go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved."
Thank you, ladies, for reading the scriptures for us. And good afternoon, everyone. My name is John, and it is my joy and privilege to be able to pray for all of us this afternoon. Two lessons stood out to me from last week's message given by Pastor. And the first is that faith can be absent. And we see this in the example of Jacob. You know, in Genesis 28 and 32, Jacob discovered God and experienced God personally in his own life. But in Genesis 42, when he faced a problem of losing one son, losing another, and the potential of possibly losing a third, Jacob failed to apply and practice his faith. And because of that, fear, despair, and sorrow were felt. The second lesson that I learned was that attention must be given to our faith. Once again, we see in the life of Jacob that if faith is not used, we may lose that faith, like a muscle. And Jacob's perspective, as we learned last week, was, "All these things are against me." But contrasting with that was the perspective of Paul. And Pastor shared from Romans 8 about Paul's faith perspective, where Paul was able to write, "All things work together for good." And so these two lessons, they became very applicable to me yesterday and today especially. Yesterday, I had to go for a checkup. And this checkup, it's quite simple. You just have to sleep, and they will study how I sleep. But this time around, the doctor told me that it might be more difficult for me to fall asleep because I have to wear a mouth guard. It's a very uncomfortable mouth guard. And he said that if you are not able to fall asleep, I need to give you a sleeping pill. And suddenly, this straightforward checkup became a little bit more complex and complicated to me. And so I had to catch myself. Initially, it was just, it's a very simple checkup. You know, I'm just going to go sleep, wake up, and then come to church this morning. But I had to catch myself. And I saw that, hey, faith was absent. And so I decided, okay, let's employ faith. Let me come before the Lord. And even if this checkup is considered straightforward, I want to be able to practice my faith. I want to be able to commit this checkup to the Lord in prayer. And it was a reminder to me that on one hand, while faith can be absent, I don't want that for my own faith. I want to be able to give attention to my faith and to employ it. And so, young people, in response, the prayer that I would like to make for all of us is, you know, for those who may not have found faith, may you experience God to be real. And for those of us who have found faith, may we employ it. Well, let's go to our God in prayer. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is faithful even when we are not faithful. We give thanks as we read from the life of Jacob, how when Jacob failed to apply his faith, even though his faith was absent, your plans and your purposes remained true throughout. Father, this afternoon, we would like to pray for the young people who have yet to find personal and genuine faith in you. May they experience you to be one that is real, and may their faith be found to be precious. We also pray for those who have found faith. Grant them the grace and enable them to employ their faith, to practice it, to apply it, to cultivate and develop it as they face their own challenges in their lives. Hear this, our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hand this time to Pastor.
Well, thank you all for your parts, leading in songs, playing the piano, reading the scriptures in prayer. They're all important, they are relevant, and we just want to thank God for involvement for everyone. Now, today we're going to take a look at chapter 43, the text was read for you earlier, and I'm just going to recast the whole thing and talk about a problem. What I would use, one word that I'm going to use a little bit more, is where certain situations in life are actually deadly. Now, when you look at it, what's so deadly? Well, let's take a look at the things which are actually quite deadly. For example, in 43, as the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt. Now, that is a deadly situation, isn't it? What was the deadliness of it all? Now, this is important. There's certain things which are actually quite deadly. For those of you who are having your exams right now, if you waited until yesterday to study, that is going to be a deadly delay. Too late. You see the danger here? And sometimes when we need to make a decision, we delay. And we delay it one day, we delay it 2 days. In this case here, delay it for a whole month or two. This kind of delay is really potentially dangerous, obviously, right? Now, I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at. So this becomes a real big problem. There's no more food, eaten all the grain. I tell you this situation, if you are absolutely hungry, there's not much food. Every grain is important. Right? So every grain, you don't even want to waste one grain. And what if it's all gone? The delay is now become very, very deadly. Going to Egypt is not taking a bus. Half an hour later, you're there. Longer journey, 1 hour. It's going to take days there, days back. And there is no more grain left. How are you going to, what are you going to do? Okay, tighten your belt. That's not going to take, stave away the hunger that is there. So this is where the lesson of delay must be learned. Right? If there are good decisions to be made, make them. Don't delay, because the delay can cause serious problems along the way. And this is a real problem over there. Okay, number one. And then finally, Jacob said, go back, buy us a little food. What is that? That's called deadly denial. Can you see that? The sons already told him, we cannot go back to Egypt unless Benjamin goes with us. And the father said, right? No way. You're not going back. That's my final word. And so they ate a little less every day. Ate less, until there is nothing left to eat. Delay. Why? Denial. I am not going to believe you. You cannot bring back, bring Benjamin with you. It's not going to happen. This kind of denial can be quite deadly. Okay. Now here comes Judah, and he explained. Judah spoke to him and saying, look, the man solemnly warned us, right? And then you see, and verse 6. So Judah tries to explain. Let's do that again. Okay, maybe you've forgotten. Maybe you were not clear. But let me say it all over again, okay? The man said, cannot come. No, Benjamin, cannot come. Which part you don't understand? And so the father was a bit upset and said to them, why did you deal so wrongfully with me to tell the man whether you had still another brother? Right? This is called a deadly blame game. Can you see? Your fault. Why are you going to tell the man that you have a brother? So this is where another part of it, this is where deadly argument can come. Straight away, they said to him, the man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family. Is your father still alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to these words. How can we know, possibly know that? See, deadly argument. I think if you look at families, we all have the same problem. A decision needs to be made, we delay until too late. And then when we try to discuss it, argument. This is called deadly discussion. Right? But it's actually not. Because when somebody blames you, you become defensive. What? You also. And then the problem will come. Obviously a big problem, right? And we all know this. Now, why do we call this deadly? Because already the family not so close together, and it becomes even more fractious. It becomes more problematic, obviously. And that is something that we understand how that can get. So, obvious deadly delay, denial, discussion where you blame each other, all these things are absolutely no good. Now, Reuben tried to say, okay, you bring Benjamin. If I don't bring him back, you kill my sons, which is, to me, really what we call dead. I mean, it's not only deadly, it's just simply dead kind of statement. What is that all about? It's useless. Okay, so now, this is very important. Whenever you see things like that, what should you do? Some people just give up. Forget it. We all die together. Don't do that. And this is where Judah comes in. Now, somebody in the family has got to come up with some kind of, this is the word, determination. Now, this is important. This is not bad. This is good time. Somebody has got to be able to bring some kind of direction. And so, here Judah says, listen, send the lad with me. We will arise, we will go. We will live, we will not die. Both you, we and you also are little ones. They are grandchildren. Can you see this? Now, this is important. Right? So, even when grandfather or father, in this case here, or grandfather to the children, stubborn, nope, we're not going to go anywhere. Right? Now, you have to think, how can I bring some kind of direction to the whole argument? Sometimes when we are going in a certain direction and it's going wrong, somebody's got to say, this is a wrong direction. We need to turn. This case here, it was Judah. Now, look at how he did this. That's important, okay? I myself will be surety for him. From my hand, you shall require him. Okay, if I do not bring him back to you, set him before you, let me bear the blame forever. What is the thing he's saying here? Now, this is something that we need to look at. What is his direction? Where is Judah going? Actually, he's actually quite a wise person. Right? Now, I think you understand this. If a father is going to put his own son in the place of danger, in this case, if Benjamin goes because he allows him to go, Benjamin will be in danger, right? Right? So when you put yourself in danger, then it becomes, it sort of makes you sit back and think through a lot of things. Well, last night I had a bad dream. You see, my little cat liked to sit on the window ledge. And he would squeeze into the window ledge. And I always tell him, don't do that. But he will always. So, and I'm always afraid if he goes too far, he will just edge himself and he'll fall down two stories. And last night, I dreamt he fell down. But actually, he couldn't have fallen down. Why? Because I already tied it up in such a way, there's air coming from the outside, but impossible for him to squeeze through. Some safety precautions that was there, but it woke me up. And I was so upset that he jumped through the window. Two-story, he didn't. It was just a bad dream. Now, this was a real situation. And Judah was very, very wise about this. All right. He knows the father would blame himself if he had said, you can go. Bring my son Benjamin down. So he said, Dad, look, I will take the blame. Okay? Now remember, the father is already blaming the sons. Right? Why you tell the governor there about our family? Why you tell him about one more brother? You shouldn't have told him. And it was going to become an argument. But, you know, Judah was very wise. And he said, look, I know you need to blame somebody. Now, if you need to blame somebody, blame me. Okay? You don't blame the others, you blame me. He's not going to say what Reuben said. He knows what the father is feeling. If I let him go, if he dies, I am going to blame myself for having made this decision. And so he says to the father, you blame me. Well, it's pretty, pretty deep. And think about this. It's a very, very deep and very, very wise decision. And then, finally, light came through. And we've just got to be open. right? First, the father said, no, delay. Argument, no. And here comes a bit of light. And then finally, this is important. This is a decision that had to be made. And that is important. See, at the end of it all, even when delay seems to be a real problem, delay is deadly, arguments are worse, finally, you have to come to a decision. Now, let's look at this decision. Verse 11. If it must be so. Now, this is, in dialect, we call it bo pian. This is if it must be so, right? And that is how it works. If it must be so, now do this. This is decision. Now this is a glimpse of old Jacob. Right? Now this is important. Sometimes we need to make decisions. Take for example, we are looking at youth conference and you're taking 1 week to decide, you delay. You delay any further, youth conference over for the year. Don't delay. Decide now, today. I'm gonna do it. And that's important. Right? Now watch this very carefully. So you decide who you want to have lunch. Okay, no Pastor Charlie Monday, no Pastor Charlie Tuesday, no Pastor. By the time have lunch Saturday, too late, gone already. So that, don't worry about that kind of decision. But this decision is very, very, now, the old person that Jacob was. Can you see this? Right? None of the sons thought about this. Now, this is where decision becomes a little bit like the old Jacob that he was, number one. Okay? Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels. So, they just don't have grain. Do they have some fruits? Yes. Look at what Jacob is going to give away now. Watch this. Okay? The best fruits of the land. All right? That's one. Two, carry down a present for the man. All right? Now, this is very important. What is a little present? A little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, pistachio, nuts and almonds and things like that. Okay. Now, you can give these things out. They are actually worth their weight in gold now. Right? Now, so to have all these things are really like treasures. And, they are very costly on the market right now. And so Jacob had all these things. And then, you see, this is the old the Jacob. It's not just simply, can't be helped. I've got to do it. Now, this is where wisdom comes in. Right? So there we, and then look at this next thing. This is a gift. Then look at verse 12. Double money in your hand. Double money is, this is high inflation. It's 100% inflation. Can you imagine? So Singapore, 10% inflation. Very worried. Char kway teow now costs $6. Chicken rice now costs $6. A cup of coffee, if you go to a good one, $6, $7, $8. Whoa, that's serious stuff. Right? In Perth, one cup of coffee is $8 now. $8? My goodness. I better bring my own coffee bean and munch on it. I mean, can you imagine? Well, there it is. People are willing to. But this is double the money. Can you imagine? $8, take $16. Whoa. Now, you're going to buy a lot of grapes. It's a lot of money going to be involved, This is not buying for one day. This is going to feed for buying for what? 1-2 months. At least, right? So double the money plus take back in your hand the money. So like triple money, right? Double the money plus what? Don't take it. Return it. Wow, that's amazing. And then, perhaps it was an oversight. And then, take your brother also, arise, go back to the man. Now, that is a decision, careful, thought through, wise.
The most important part of this decision was this verse 14. And this is important. What is this all about? Right? And so he said this, and may God Almighty give you mercy before the men. Jacob now has to decide, we got to bring God back into the picture. All along, he doesn't talk about God, he doesn't talk about his mercy, he doesn't talk about anything about God. He's just very, very disgruntled old man. This time, he says, let's bring it back. And may God Almighty give you mercy. That's one. See, there's nothing to plead. He cannot say, consider my works, consider my life, consider, you cannot bring in anything. Just mercy. Right? Mercy means I've got nothing to plead with. Right? It's either you, God, you show mercy or we're all dead. Now, that is mercy. Now, number one. Number two, as he talked about God, now, that he may release your other brother. Now, he doesn't want to mention Simeon's name. You can imagine. And Benjamin. Because later on, you will understand why. He has never totally forgiven Simeon and Levi. He's angry inside him too. But may he release your brother and Benjamin. Benjamin, close to heart. He will not just mention son. This is his son, Benjamin. And then, of course, may he release. This is called deliverance. Because only God would be able to do that, right? Who else can bring about this change? There's nobody else. So you need to bring in and pray and may God have mercy, number one. Two, more than that, you got to stretch your faith a little bit. Right? May God release your brother. He's not seen him at all for the last few months. Right? And now he's going to have to exercise faith in God somehow for his son, which he has been delaying. I'm not going to let him go. This time he has to make a decision that is going to plead or going to lean hard on God's mercy and God's deliverance. Now, how confident is he that? It's not. He still have the problem we call diffidence. That's the opposite of confidence. And so he said, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. That's a sad reality. All right? So on the one hand, he has no choice. The decision, you got to decide, I've got to bring God into the picture. And the only thing I can think of is God's mercy. That's what. This is such a far cry from what he began, right? Genesis 28, you know, if God, you will do this, if you do that, you will be my God. And now God is just simply a God of mercy, nothing else. And even then, he had to extend the faith and have a little bit of problem of diffidence. Now that is something that we need to think about very carefully. How does this actually work? And this is important for us to understand. Right? Now, in resignation at the end of it all, which is a sad kind of thing here. And so we take a look at life, and as we summarize the whole family, we ask ourselves, what's happening? Right? The family has not been able to make much progress in faith in their walk with God. It's just delay. And that is unfortunate. And where there's delay, part of it is denial. Right? And it's partly their family arguments. You know, blame here, blame that person. How do we know? Why you blame us? And so. Those things are just deadly. The best thing to do, put them away. That's the wisest thing. Put away. And so Judah began, okay, let's look at a new track. Let's think this through very carefully. Okay, I understand where you are, but look, if we don't go to Egypt, we all die. We will die, you will die, our children will die, our little ones, everybody will die if we don't go down. All right, If you need to blame somebody, blame me. I will take the blame. My decision, my fault, not yours. Just say yes. That was a very brave thing to say. And then finally, Jacob decides, okay. Now he realizes this. I need to bring God in. He is a God of mercy. He's a God of power. If anyone can deliver your brother Simeon and Benjamin, it would be this God of mercy. But was he very confident? No. Let's be honest about it. Sometimes when we are not used to bringing God into the picture, we're not confident even when we mention God. That's what's happening. Right? It's a very real situation. And a lot of people in many families are not able to bring God into the picture, into the family, into the conversation easily. And yet, would God respond in this way? Answer, yes. Well, we're going to wait for that to see how God will reply. And this is absolutely important. And so it's good for us to check ourselves. Look at things which are deadly in our life. Learn, put that away. Deadly delay, deadly denial, deadly argument. Put that away. Don't. Change direction. Right? Change direction. We've got to find a solution. We can't go hungry. We cannot starve to death. Everybody loses. Direction must be changed. Judah suggested it. And that's important. We all need to be positive about things like that. And then finally, decision. So one, family. Two, Judah's new direction. And three, Jacob's final decision. How can we make those decisions? Bring God back into the picture. He is a God of mercy. And that's important, right? He is a God who can deliver. We may be diffident, but you know what? The best thing is still to learn to trust in God. And the more you work with God, the more you understand God, the easier it will become. But if we don't use our faith in the Lord, nothing's good. Nothing's going to happen. We're just going to end up with a lot of problems. Think about this. May God become more and more real in our hearts and in our life always. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the lessons we can learn. And we see all these problems in our own life, in our families. But very often there are disruptive arguments where there are dangers, deadliness, delay, denial. Help us to go away from that kind of situation, but find a new direction somehow, practical, positive, possible. And then finally, help us to make the right decision, to include you into our life, to add on and realize that we need you in our life very, very really. And help us to find you as a God of mercy, a God of deliverance. And we pray that our faith in you will become more and more confident. We pray for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Here's a word of advice to everybody. Always find good direction. And whatever you decide, even a good direction, decide, bring the Lord into our life. And that's you couldn't go wrong with that. Because He is God Almighty and there is mercy with the Lord. Right? So two things to practice. One, find good direction, make good decisions, follow through. Okay, decide, don't delay, sign up, youth conference.